Hi, everybody. This is Jim Cornette, pro wrestling legend, and you're listening to the Book in the Territory Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast.
This is the artist formerly known as Daryl Van Horn, James Mitchell, the Sinister Minister, and I'm here to let you know I would rather slam my cock in a car door than to miss the dulcet tones of Hard Body Harper, my illegitimate son, on Booking the Territory Podcast.
Who messy, this is professional wrestler Jimmy Valiant, the Boogie Woogie Man. Tell my people, my brothers and sisters, don't you dare miss Booking the Territory. Oh yeah.
This is a one-man gang. You're listening to Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Welcome back, everyone, to this week's episode of Booking the Territory, the Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast, where today we are covering WCW Saturday Night on TBS from November the 7th, 1992. It is part two of November 7th, 1992. If you are listening to this on YouTube, please subscribe to the channel and hit the like button on the video. And lastly, type a comment or two with what you liked or hated about the episode. Come on, get those comments going. It helps the channel grow. The algorithms love that type of thing. And it makes a superstar, Hard Body Harper, very, 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 very happy. Who's running late. He literally just told Doc and I he's pooing. So he will be on shortly. That is a shoot. Too bad this isn't a video. I could, it'll be on YouTube, but I'm not about to screen cap that. Anyway, big time shout out to Disrespectfully Classy, Marky Blassy, Mike Childrey, Joe Weiss, good old Justin for your generous support on Patreon each and every month, supporting this show. Doc, let me welcome you in. How are you doing as we wait for the superstar?
Yeah, we're on deck because he's got one on deck. You know what I mean? Well, we really do need you guys to go out there and leave some reviews and interact with the show. It helps. Hey, look, you know, I know that sometimes you listen to podcasts and we help you get through tough times. And sometimes I listen to podcasts and they help take my mind off of things. I just want to say the least you could do is go out there and leave a review, unless your name is Half Pint. I got a little bone to pick with the little fella.
I don't know why you're working yourself into a shoot over this, but go ahead. Pick a bone with Half Pint.
Listen,
it's going to be a little bone, I guess.
I guess it's going to be a pint-sized bone. So little fella comes out on the dark web and says he wants Lance to do the Chris Adams review because Iceman's on there.
That's not what he said, but continue.
Let me tell you something, and I'll point my voice downward so that this little person can hear me. We need to get this whole JV Goon Squad and Whack Pack and all these people under serious control. They have gotten to this mistaken view of the world that they have a voice and what happens around here. Let me tell you exactly. Shut up. Let me tell you the exact pecking order here. There's three people that sit at the top. So here's what I'm going to suggest. Next year, when we do our football picks, I'm going to have Lance on to do the football picks with me instead of Half Pint, since he's got opinions.
How about that? First off, what you don't realize has happened for years. Whenever it's a world-class person, Lance and I generally will do a Dark Side of the Ring episode in addition to whatever I do with you, because y'all are two different people and have two different perspectives, even though y'all are both world-class fans. You're over there getting worked into a fucking tizzy because your little fucking feelings got hurt, and it ain't that goddamn serious, because you and I are still going to do, or have already done, if you're hearing this right now, an episode on Chris Adams' Dark Side of the Ring.
I can't. I'm busy that day.
Okay. Well, then I'm sure Lance and I can handle it then, since you're busy.
No, maybe you and Half Pint can do it. That would get all everybody excited.
You know, I mean, Frank, what you think about Iceman in the episode?
That motherfucker would figure out a way to pick the Titans to win in an off-season discussion about world class.
I thought Iceman was great. He was talking about all the snatch they were getting. But let me tell you something. The Titans are going to win the Super Bowl.
Leave Half Pint alone. Just like Harper said when Ryback blocked him. Let Half Pint go. Look, man. Yeah. Lance and I have done... You and I did the Gordy episode. So did Lance and I. There were two Dark Side of the Ring episodes on Gordy. Because... You know, y'all are both fans of it. So I don't know why you got worked into a shoot. Good job, Half Pint. You worked him into a shoot in a lather where he's cutting promos for no reason.
I was getting ready to go to bed last night, and it was a long day, and I saw just the rampant stupidity coming from down, you know, way down yonder. It's like, dude, come on. I mean, what in the yeet is going on here?
What in the yeet?
Maybe I'll yeet it over to him.
Right. I don't think people realize how frustrated he was.
That got him out of sorts, dude. And I don't know how many times I've ever seen he's on now. I don't know how many times I've ever seen him truly get that flustered and out of sorts.
Harper has turned into old man yelling at clouds.
Yeah, I 100%. Think you're right.
Calling him now. Let's see if we can get him on.
Okay, well, let's get him on in here. And he's called a shot here. He wants to talk about something. So
yeah, we got to have him. That's why we're stalling in the opening this week.
We've been kind of filibustering here because we need him. Waiting for him to join the BTT hotline.
And I don't want to spoil what we're going to talk about. But he's really turned into old man yelling at clouds. Because you and I have heard those words a million times.
No intention.
And we don't think nothing of them at this point. It's like, oh, it's pretty normal. Yeah, you hear these teenagers or young kids talk like that. Whatever. That's what they do. No big deal.
I just walk by and ask them if they're having a seizure or something and shut up, dude. Okay.
He says he's unavailable. It's weird.
Man.
Well, let me do this while I'm waiting on him. You know, we were talking about...
What are you going to do? Drive to Metairie and restart his computer?
Oh, God, no. While we're sitting here waiting on the superstar to join us, shout out to Steve S. Thanks for becoming an annual patron this past week. And I got to say, Doc, boy, the Patreon feed is being lit up the last couple of weeks. And you might ask,
oh, really?
What do you mean?
What do you mean it's been lit up? See, there you go.
So as of us recording this on April 16th of 2024, you should become a patron because we dropped in a span of just a few days, the Harley Race Dark Side of the Ring discussion that you and I had, Halloween Havoc 92 also dropped. And in the same weekend, the Chris Colt Dark Side of the Ring dropped. Just a couple days before that, we talked about CM Punk. And is that him? Oh, that's you. We talked about CM Punk and them airing they were going to air the footage. More on that maybe on this show. We talked about your WrestleMania 40 thoughts. So like in a week's time, plus we had the ECW show, we had the WrestleMania post show, we had the World Class show from that week. Like literally in a week's time, I mean, there was like eight
Patreon
shows.
Can we not give Patreon these people can we not give them a break?
We gave them almost a show every single week, every single day for a week on classic stuff, some modern stuff, but mostly classic. So I say that to say, become a patron at tinyurl.com/patreonbtt. I mean, At this point, we're up to about 400 plus exclusive Patreon audio episodes. There's video episodes on there, video versions that we do of the WCW shows and the World Class shows with Lance and I. You got the NWA Power Legacy cast with Sparks and the Little Fella Half Pint. You got the ECW shows with Mike Prue, JV, Rick Beebe, all of that available on Patreon. I mean, I doubt everybody has the ability to go through it all. There's so much that drops on a given week. So lots of stuff available. Become a patron, tinyurl.com/patreonbtt, as we continue to wait for Harper. I'm getting pissed off. Hey. We're just going to start this show.
He's here.
There he is. Yeah,
I've been here for 10 minutes.
No, you ain't been no fucking where for 10 minutes.
Whatever. I just watch you going on. We do all kinds of things. Well, you're great. Good for you. Mentioned a bunch of people no one's ever heard of. Great.
I told him we need to get a hold of this goon squad, the whack pack that's running around, and let him know who's in charge.
Doc, you want to set up this segment that Harper's so meaningly calling for tonight?
Yeah, first of all, Harper, how you doing?
Yeah, see? He's gone. Just take a quick.
What do you do?
I don't know, man. Probably his connection. Who knows?
He probably yeeted on himself, and now he has to go clean it up. No cap.
It's going to be a hell of a fucking show to edit. I'll tell you that much.
Jesus Christ. He did a run-in to yell at you, and then he left.
Yeah.
After being 25 minutes late, it keeps knocking me off. Did you restart your computer?
The answer to that is no.
Every time.
Why do I mean, we do this. We haven't
recorded in years that I didn't restart the computer first. Not once. Not, oh, I bet I could get away with it. Not once. It's part of the routine. It's the small cost of doing this.
Oh, boy.
So here's the thing. If he comes in, fine, and if he doesn't, we're going to start the fucking show. Because I'm getting irritated here, and when I get irritated, it doesn't go well. Here he's back. Harper. We're going to roll into a segment here. We hope that you can stay with us, because this is something that you wanted to talk about. At this point, we have all witnessed the 54 seconds of terror in AEW, and we now know why Tony Khan feared for his life at the backstage shenanigans at Wembley Stadium when CM Punk went mad and made everyone fear for their lives. Harper, what was your take on that?
I was like, I can't believe he survived.
Well, who's
he's
he?
A survivor.
Who's he?
Tony Khan.
Oh yeah, because I mean, there was danger everywhere, so I wasn't sure who you were talking about.
Danger stranger.
Goddamn, so now pronouns.
Let me ask you this.
What?
We're going to have you break down the whole thing because there's not a lot to break down.
I mean,
what would you say for those who don't watch AEW or those who are upset or who didn't see it, you know, how would you describe the 54 seconds that was shown on the air? What happened there?
CM Punk was speaking with Jungle Boy. And you could tell they were getting kind of heated because they got, I think it's Andre Edwards and the other ref, they're sitting there watching. And you can tell, like, on the look of their faces, they're like, oh, okay, this shit's getting heated. And then that's, it's not much to say. He fucking shoved Jungle Boy, and then he got him in a little chokehold or something for like 5 seconds. And then, and then Samoa Joe came up and kind of pulled him apart. And then you saw the fucking monitors kind of get knocked down. And then you see Tony Khan's hand like a zombie coming out the ground from the Thriller video. Fucking grab the fucking monitor to keep it from falling. And then CM Punk told him something, and then they got him out the area. CM Punk.
Before he could hurt anyone else.
Right. And then Jungle okay. Boy called better help. And I heard he's doing better.
Okay. Okay, well, that's a free plug for our friends over there that don't pay for it. So would you say that anybody that we could see on that screen did anything to be fired?
No.
Okay.
Hell no. It's just,
would you say that CM Punk embellished or lied on his appearance on Ariel Helwani's show?
Negative. Okay. It was all pretty spot on.
Okay. Mike, do you agree with that?
I just want to state for the record, I'm exhausted with the whole
Mike is doing this topic. The only reason Mike is participating in this is because Harper said he wanted to. So that's why I'm taking
Mike's like, bro, did you see that shit?
It's dumb. Let me tell you why it's dumb. I've railed on Cornette on this show about giving free plugs to that organization a million times. And while I didn't mind talking about Punk's interview, it's a little different. We were talking about another podcast. Now we've just ventured into Mud Show bullcrap with the same old thing. I've literally said for years on this show, I don't want to be like certain podcasts and just talk about things that I hate. This whole thing is dumb. It wasn't a fight. It's like revisiting stupidity over and over again.
You can't ignore this, though. That's the problem. You can't ignore it.
Why do you say that?
Because this was the most stupid. I'm not talking about the little shoving match or whatever. I'm talking about showing this on your television.
Mm.
This was the most stupidest thing probably since like the finger poke of doom. This was the dumbest thing I've seen in maybe ever since I've been watching wrestling.
That covers a lot of ground.
But the thing is, people bring up, oh, what about Shockmaster? He didn't mean to fall through the fucking wall. He fucking tripped. He was in an accident. I mean, don't get me wrong. Even if he did bust through the wall like he was supposed to, it would have been goofy. It wouldn't have been embarrassing or stupid. But this was done on purpose. They thought they were doing something great with this.
Well, they were wrong.
Well, their ratings went up 9% from the previous week.
Yeah, whoop de fucking do, bro.
I'm just playing devil's advocate because you just don't see the emails I get from people telling me we're old and we need to die and they wish my kids' death and my wife's death because we're being critical of an organization that they love. I'm just saying I'm playing devil's advocate here. The ratings went up 9% and everything's great over there.
But the thing is, it's not only that they aired this, it's when. It's over. He ain't going to fuck you again. He ain't fucking with you anymore. Move on. 9 months late. Now, if he was still working there, and you aired this 9 months ago, okay, I could see you're working an angle. We're doing wrestling here. He's gone. You can't benefit from this at all. And I don't understand. Bro, the look on Tony Schiavone's face says it all.
God.
I mean, that was it. And he's just, because he is from the wrestling world. Not this shit.
For the record, Tony Schiavone says everybody in the on the internet, Twitter, and all the people saying that he made a face and you know didn't like it. Tony Schiavone says all those people saying that need to shut the hell up. It was everything can be a still shot. You can make a meme out of nowadays. You can make a still shot look like anything. Tony Schiavone denies any. I'm just saying, Tony Schiavone on the record. I listened to the clip right before the show. From his show, he said it's people making a mountain out of a molehill, and basically he told all those people doing that and saying that to F off. He loves AEW, and everything's great. Listen to me. I'm just giving you the other side because that's their point of view and their reference. That was Tony's reference, and I love Tony Schiavone. I will always love Tony Schiavone. I don't care that he works there. I think Tony Schiavone's great. I'm just telling you what he said when asked about the memes being created in the still shot of his face.
That's, yeah, okay. Right.
Right. So, Harper, what's the next angle they're going to shoot with this?
Nothing. You can't. You can't do anything with this. It's over.
They say,
oh, well, this was a part of our history. And they're, bruh, but y'all still bringing up that fucking Wembley Stadium shit, bruh? Y'all still talking about that? And it's like, and it's almost like if, like, Vanderbilt shocks the world and they beat Bama. Holy shit, Vanderbilt beat fucking number one Alabama. But the next week they lose against Kentucky. And the next week they lose the homecoming game against East Carolina. Then they lose again against Florida. Then they lose again against Georgia. Then they lose again. It's the same old Vanderbilt. Y'all got lucky one time. But y'all still keep bringing up, well, you know what? We did beat Alabama that one. That was then. We're talking about now. Y'all are garbage since then. And that's what this is. Stop bringing up Wembley, bro. It just move on from this shit. And I, you know what, Doc? I sent Mike this on Facebook. And you probably haven't seen Wayne's World in fucking forever, right?
Right.
That clip was hilarious.
There's a scene where Wayne's girlfriend will not move on from him. And she keeps bothering him and stalking him. And I was like, this is AEW. They're still trying to ride on the CM Punk shit. And he's moved on to a better woman than you. And y'all are pissed off about it. Because he said the truth that you're a fucking cokehead whore that doesn't work. And you had your kids taken away from you by the state.
Mike, how much hate mail is that going to get you?
I mean,
okay, there's more. So,
are you Oprah? You get a ring. You get a car. You crazy. You tuned in for this. There was no way I was tuning in for it. The only reason I saw the footage is because my 19-year-old comes out the room and goes, "Did you see this bull crap?" I'm like, I was trying to stay away from it, but go ahead and tell me because I'm not going to tell you don't talk to me. And he shows me the video, and that's when I got hot.
I saw the video where someone on Facebook put their phone up to the actual TV, and they filmed it. I was like, bro, I ain't watching it like this. This had to happen. I want to see this in the real time, in the real world, so I know exactly what the fuck I'm looking at. So I saw, this was afterwards. And it was, I guess, on a Hulu, you can watch the AEW whenever the shit you want. So I was like, oh, okay, it's over with, but I'm going to watch it to see if it's on there, right? I click it on, and I see, what's his name? Okada. Akuma Makata, which means
Okada. Attendance. Jesus Christ.
And
I caught that.
And I said, he looks like Cody Rhodes. So I was like, oh, damn, he does look like an Asian Cody Rhodes. And this motherfucker, they had him work with a jobber. And this job guy was the worst jobber I have seen in my fucking life.
Well, that's saying a lot, Hopper, because we've seen some dudes.
See this motherfucker, dude. It's bad. He starts giving Okada strikes, and they look like shit. And the guy's hollering while he's giving it, and Okada's not selling it because it's so stupid. He's not even attempting to sell it. And you can see the look on Okada's face. It's like, why am I in the ring with this motherfucker? It's that fucking bad.
Maybe we need an AEW review show with Harper.
No.
Then finally the guy comes back. He starts giving him strikes. You can see the look on Okada's face like, are you fucking being for real? Like, I'm in this situation right now. And then eventually he just beats him and he pins him. Wait, there's more. FTR comes out. And they cut in, and what's the guy, Peck, whatever the fuck his name is, comes out.
Peck.
Pock.
Yeah.
Okay. He comes out. And there's, you know, the FTR and it's the Young Bucks. They're going to go at it, right? And the Young Bucks have chairs, or Okada has chairs. Cause I'm not watching this shit again to fucking get the real. And I heard something I've never heard before in professional wrestling, bro. Ever. They give FTR a chair shot, and that building was so empty, you could hear an echo from the fucking chair shot. I was like, holy shit, there's an echo from the chair shot. And there was about 2,000 people in this 10 to 15,000 seat building, bruh. And there was an echo from the chair shot. And the crowd reaction, dude, the 2,000 people in there, bro, they must have made eye contact with fucking Medusa, bruh, because they all turned to statues and did nothing. They just sat there. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me, bro? I felt embarrassed and like, what the fuck is this?
So when will you be watching AEW again?
I'm not watching this again.
Went on.
I never saw this ever in my life, bro. An echo from a chair shot. I've never heard that before. Not on the indies, of a wildcat, or anything. I've never heard an echo from a chair shot. I'm thinking, this is fucking TBS. And I'm looking, there's Okada, one of the big guys, there's the young... I'm like, bro, what the... Are you being fucking for real? There's nobody in this motherfucker. And the crowd is not reacting to anything. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, dude. This explains everything in a fucking nutshell. This is it. This explains their fucking problems.
Okay. So
and they used the fucking CM Punk shit. Like, that was their draw for. They're like, we got this shit, baby. Release the fucking Kraken. And it was a fucking garfish in fucking West Esplanade Canal. That's what they fucking released.
The international audience, along with everybody not from the South or South Louisiana, has no clue what that analogy means. The garbage.
I couldn't believe, bro, an echo from a chair shot in that job.
I watched the backstage stuff and thought they should all be ashamed for this. Nobody should have been bragging about that shit. They should have burned the tape and moved on.
Let Harper finish. Let Harper finish. Yeah, I
couldn't, dude. That fucking that whole segment was a fucking shit show. Where that fucking job guy should not have been there. He was bad, dude. It was embarrassing bad. He shouldn't have been there.
Harper.
What?
Go ahead. No, go ahead. I do have a question for you.
I mean, everything about this, nothing about this said, boy, I should keep watching this. Nothing about it said, boy, I can't wait to see what happened. Nothing, dude. And I turned that bitch off and I put it on fucking Who's the Boss. And I watch Who's the Boss fucking reruns, bro.
I got my
Samantha Maselli fix.
Okay, so for everybody, see, here's the thing. So you made a statement about, you know, they're showing this 9 months after, they can't move on from Punk. So my thought is, you know, for all the people, because again, I hear from people, right? Okay, they don't. A lot of people they are respectful AEW fans. Let me be clear.
Good, I'm glad to hear that,
and I appreciate that. But then we get the ones that want, you know, like I said, they want me dead. They want my wife and kids dead.
Oh, you? They're just
unhinged. Yeah, man. It's these people are unhinged in the world nowadays. But that's a story for a different day. Like, everybody's unhinged. They work themselves into a lather too much over things that don't need to be worked into a lather. I had planned on, if we had time tonight, but we're running long with this segment, to share something with y'all that I thought would really give y'all a kick. But we might have to save that for another day, unless we have time at the close of this one. But going back to Punk, though, there are the AEW fans that they say, well, Punk brought them up. You know, Punk was the one who brought this up again. And the AEW Edge, because I heard he did a promo, still don't know what he really said, but I've seen people say it wasn't all that great. But Edge did a promo in the previous week, and then this week or this past week they aired the footage from Wembley, and they're weaving that footage into the storyline with FTR and the Young Bucks. So, but there are people who are saying, because you were saying, how's this work? I'm just saying from their point of view, it's made it to a storyline. But there are people who are saying, well, wait, all they're doing is reacting to what Punk said. So they're just like, you know, they're not taking it lying down. They're reacting to what he said. To the people who say that, what do you say? Because, I mean, he did bring them up and he did talk about it, although he was asked about it. He was asked. It wasn't like he went on YouTube live himself and decided to air his grievances. He was asked the question, which that's been my argument too. Mullet of Morton asked me about Mercedes Moné's debut there. And I was like, I didn't see it. I don't care. I don't want to watch it. I don't. Jesus could be handing out miracles and I'm not going to watch. And then I had couple snarky people jump into my tweet saying, well, you don't have to bash it if you know, just stay in your lane. Hey, idiot, I was asked a question from a listener that I was answering someone. So to the people who tell you, Harper, but they're just responding to what Punk did and said, what do you say to that?
But the thing is, where did Punk respond to this at?
On a podcast with Ariel Helwani.
On someone else's podcast. He didn't say this on fucking Raw. He didn't use a fucking TV time. He said this on someone else's fucking shit, bro. And they were chewing up their own TV time just to fucking, yeah, fuck him. Oh boy, wait till we do this.
So the rule is, if asked elsewhere,
of that term living rent free in someone's head, that you say all the time, this is it, bro. This is it. Because they got pissed off the shit when Will Ospreay was talking shit to like the Triple H and all. I'm like, bro, like what are you doing? Are you wasting your own TV time on bullshit like that, bro?
Yes.
When you got a pay per view, y'all got a pay per view coming up, bro.
And y'all are airing grievances y'all can't do a damn thing about, instead of furthering stories, telling stories, and creating some personal issues with people that can solve it that I can see.
Yes, and they have no, and it's obvious they don't give a shit about if there's one person or fucking, 10,000 people in there. Because to get that petty, bruh, And then, what's the saying? It's the wounded dog that fucking hollers the loudest. I mean, you proved them right then. Because if it wasn't about you, I mean, you wouldn't have said shit.
Okay, so hold on. So, Harper, to finish this up, what should AEW have done?
Is he talking?
I don't know. Harper, are you there?
Wait. All right. Yeah.
What should AEW have done in this scenario?
Nothing.
That's the right answer.
Nothing. He's fucking somebody else now. Stop driving by his house.
Leave that man alone.
Leave that man. Stop going on his Facebook and like, oh, look. He tagged himself at the movie seeing Godzilla. Who in the fuck is he seeing that movie with? That fucking bitch. Oh, look, he tagged himself at the Swamp Room. Who's he there with, that fucking motherfucker? Like, move on, bruh.
Yeet.
The rent-free thing is interesting because I think there are times when that applies and doesn't apply. Like, I always say this, you know, because Cornette lathers up the AEW fans nonstop. It's like it's in. He constantly, and I mean, you could just look at the numbers he does on YouTube, man. It's ridiculous. But I always say to those people, stop listening to him. Stop giving his words credence because you're basically feeding the machine. But in fairness, I can say that's what we're doing right now, too, by talking about this dumb shit.
Bruh, I can't help about what I saw on fucking TV. That's supposed to be this big-time wrestling promotion that comes on a major cable channel 3 times a goddamn fucking week, bruh. I couldn't believe what in the fuck I was seeing. And Tiffany goes, why is it so dark in there? I said, because there's nobody in that motherfucker, so they're trying to hide it.
Every time Fair I enough. Turn it over, somebody that's in my house is like, what's this? Yeah. And they say it just like that. They don't know what they're seeing, but they know it's not good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, I couldn't believe about what in the fuck I saw. And I said, I'm not watching this anymore. I was like, okay, well, I must have missed it when they aired the footage. I was like, okay, I'm done. This is fucking bullshit. This is fucking bullshit. With that shitty job guy in the echo chair shot and all. And I'm like, dude, fuck. I was like, no. Bye. Goodbye.
You're done with him finally. Like, I've told you.
I'm not hate watching.
Well, you're done until they air more punk footage is what I'm hearing.
No. You got to stand. So they can't get you again. It's over with. Now what? They blew their load, and their load was just a little drop. Bloop.
Two poops.
Yeah. Oh, is that it? Yeah. Oh, God. I'm sorry. It just doesn't happen all the time. That's what that was like. I'm sorry.
Well, thanks for that expert analysis. I'm glad you watched the show so that we didn't have to. Mike. Are we ready to talk 1992?
I gotta say, I didn't think Harper would go that long, but he really did. Was like,
show us on the Tony Khan doll where they touched you, Harper.
I just to wrap it up. I always say this, man. I want that organization to succeed because I think the wrestling business is better when there's at least alternatives. I don't even want to call it competition, but I think wrestling is better. I think we all know what it's like when there's only one big game in town, when that monopoly is a real thing. Man, we saw the WWE just go into an abyss for what I felt was many years outside of a couple of different angles once there was no more WCW and they were the only game in town. So I firmly believe you got to have some viable alternatives One, there's places for talent to work. Two, there's leverage. I know the talent loves the fact, even guys who have no intention of ever going to AEW, I'm sure they love the fact that there's an AEW there. That way they can, when it's time to negotiate, it's like, hey, you know, I got options. They didn't have options before. Sure, you might say at one point in time TNA and Impact were an option, but I mean, it got to a point where that died out and fizzled pretty quickly, even though they're still around. I mean, from a viable standpoint of contract and money. But I want them to succeed, man, and it's painful when that product.
Because they aren't doing anything to help themselves be successful.
No. Yeah. And the WWE, bro, they could get in the ring right now and just take a shit and gold bricks will fall out their ass. They can't do no wrong right now.
Which is unreal to think about when I think of when we started this show in 2015 and how much we would complain about some of the stuff that they did. It's like, wow, times do change given enough time. It's really under. I was thinking about it last night. I was watching Raw, which wasn't the greatest Raw of all time, but I was like, man, WWE's gotten so much better. And if you'd have told me that when we started this in 2015, that they would have another, like, I don't want to call it golden era, but like a really high point era, I would have never dreamed of it.
If you'd have told me you were going to be blowing Paul in this era, I would have been surprised.
I've come all the way around on him, man. I mean, he's
calling it pro wrestling, bruh.
The dude who said suckatash. The dude who said that became, and we used to say that back then about Roman. We were like, it's not him. He's got the talent. But he became this megastar. Like, I'm just saying, it is unreal. And you know what? I firmly believe a piece of them doing so great is the fact that there was an alternative. People forget when they introduced Bray Wyatt as when he was the mask guy. What was he? What were they calling him? What was his name?
I have no idea.
Oh, when he wrestled that first. Oh God, I can't.
The Fiend.
Anyway, the Fiend. When he was the Fiend in that cage match. It ended bad, and the fans were chanting AEW in a WWE ring at that pay-per-view / premium live event or whatever the hell they want us to call them now. There were AEW chants in the WWE ring and WWE arena. We've gone from that to where we are now, with the WWE being hotter than six suns. In the midst of, I would say, one of their greatest scandals, but they've had many over the years. In the midst of the Vince McMahon saga and scandal and allegations, like all that happened, like during that same time, that's freaking crazy to think about. So there's hope when you're at the bottom of the barrel, AEW. There's hope that you can pull the nose up on the plane. Lord knows your owner has enough money to do so.
When you're in a hole, stop digging.
Just saying, they got enough money to do so. Anyway, on that note, we are going to finally move to part two of November 7th, 1992. Doc, we left off with the first half this week. We're still at Center Stage. It was filmed November 2nd. We jump back in. JR reminds us we're going to see two King of Cable matchups this week in the tournament. Well, we'll see one. We'll talk about the second one at the end of the show. Jim Ross throws to Teddy Long interviewing Eric Watts at the start of the show. Doc, do you have anything before we go to this opening promo?
This guy makes Tim Horner look like Ric Flair.
Well, let's give Harper a little taste of it to see if
Who's that?
Eric Watts.
Okay.
Here it is.
Thanks, Jim. Eric, I know just 2 weeks ago, right here on WCW Saturday Night, you can remember that Paulie Dangerously brought in a hitman, the intruder, to try and take you out. Well, that failed. And just last week on WCW Saturday Night, Michael Hayes, Bobby Eaton, they tried to take you out. Well, that failed. And now Michael Hayes, Eric, he says that he can do it on his own. He don't need any help. In just a few moments, you're going to be stepping into the ring with Michael Hayes. There has to be a lot on your mind.
Yeah, I want to make two statements very clear. First, no Freebird ever whooped Bill Watts. Secondly, you can keep on sending your men. You're just like any other little squirrel, talking, have to hide behind people. But let me tell you what, I'll never give up. I'll keep on coming. Michael Hayes, you're going to find that out real soon.
Well, fans, this match is set to go. Let's go down to the ring.
It wasn't terrible because it was short. Doc, your thoughts?
It was terrible even though it was short.
Okay. Pauper, you still there? Your thoughts on it?
Yeah, that was terrible, and thank God it was short.
I think he nailed it.
Yeah. AEW bad, Hopper?
No. Is it that? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
boy, you motherfucker.
Wrestling's always sucked. Wrestling's always sucked. Hit the tap line.
This is a point that I want to make. I'm glad you both hated that. We romanticized this shit like we never saw bad stuff in our day. And you go back and watch it, you're like, that was bad. Like, the last 20 episodes, I'm sorry, was it 10 or 20? Maybe 10. The last 10 episodes of Smoky Mountain Wrestling were terrible. Horrendous.
But there was a reason why they were terrible, though.
But the first 10 weren't great either.
Well, that's true. It took them a little time to get ramped up. But the greater point I'm trying to make
except when Ron Wright came rolling out from behind that thing to hand Ivan Koloff the chain and then rolled to the back.
Dude, that was great. that was great.
It's like what Junior Soprano said. Some people are so behind, they think they're in first.
That can happen in NASCAR.
things are great.
You're about to get lapped. You're like, I'm in first place. Eric Watts, something else. Anyway, well, we go to the first match. You heard Watts. He's talking about Michael Hayes. Michael Hayes is being managed by Paulie Dangerously. Doc, let me go to you as we watch this match. Any thoughts on Watts versus Hayes here?
You know, we had something really hot in the Dangerous Alliance, and we just let it fizzle, and there was no big blow-off. There was no big thing. It's just kind of gone.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys. Yeah.
Way to go.
You see, bro, I can't move off of that shit. You're just like the rest of them.
Just like the rest of them.
Hey, I did have a thought real quick. I forgot to play this during the segment that we were talking about. I actually contacted Bill Watts to get his thoughts on the AEW here in the footage. And Bill Watts had some thoughts he wanted to share with us about that. Here it is.
You know, Mills, you're a slap dick, but I guess I have some thoughts on AEW. My thoughts are, why are you wasting my fucking time asking me about these assholes and that horrendous television program? I don't give a fuck about any of these so-called talents. They all fucking suck. It all sucks. It's like watching a monkey fucking a football. And I have no further comment other than to say, don't fucking call me ever again asking me to give my opinion about AEW, the young fucks, CM Punk, or any of it.
All right, so Bill wasn't too happy when I contacted him about the segment. So there's that.
He sounds good though for that age, you know.
Yeah, I mean, doesn't sound shaky at all, right?
Yeah, he sounded good.
Not at all. Hey, I did like that at one point during this match, Jake starts pointing out that Watts is cheating, and now a quote, just like his old man. So everybody's getting shots in on Watts here.
Boy, no kidding. And Jake's about to walk out the door. So, well, technically not walk out the door, but you know what I mean. He's gonna be gone.
And this match wasn't the worst thing I've ever seen. And I'll be honest with you here. I thought Watts, I don't remember what it was because I didn't write it down, but I have that Watts hit a decent finisher to finish it.
Yeah, so let's go to the finish now. So Watts fights out of a hole by Hayes. Hayes kind of has him in a headlock, and Watts is firing up. He's throwing fists. And Hayes eventually catches him, and he's about to go for a DDT, but Watts fights it off. And then Watts bridge suplexes Hayes and gets the win. And it was at this moment where I thought, for sure, Doc, you would catch this. Jake says Buddy Roberts is rolling over in his grave right now with Watts losing to a Freebird. Buddy lived until like 2012.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. I was like, he's not dead yet.
So I don't know if Jake thinking of somebody else, but or if Jake's hitting the bottle here before commentary, or he doesn't seem high, but
yeah.
Buddy lives another 10 years beyond this. What'd you say, Doc?
Do I look high?
Do you look high?
That's from Friday. He goes, what? Do I look high? And then he...
Oh, yeah. I was like, I didn't know what you were talking about. But, yeah, Buddy's... Let's not put Buddy in the grave yet. He's got some time left at this point. So I thought that was
Now,
really
he will
strange.
End up with, like, the tracheotomy and say he should have never started smoking. But that's later on.
Yeah, you remember when he did the, I think it was Heroes of World Class documentary. He's on that. And when he talks, he's got to talk through the voice box. I think that was the one, which that was a really, really good documentary. One of the best ones I've seen on World Class. But Doc, any other thoughts on Watts and Hayes there?
No.
Let's go to Paulie Dangerously. He's with Jim Ross pissing JR off. Here that is.
And we're back here, ladies and gentlemen, with Paulie Dangerously. And Paul, once again, your game plan did not work.
Eric Watts is probably the greatest athlete in the history of TBS. It takes a great athlete to beat a man with 103 fever, which Michael PSAs has. It takes a great athlete to beat a man with a mild case of pneumonia, which Michael PSAs has. It takes a great man to beat Michael Hayes, who was in the post-production suite of the WCW main event until 6 this morning, took the limo to pick me up at 7. My flight was delayed from New York City. I got in at 9. He hasn't had one moment's rest because he's been the strategist for Bobby and Arn. Oh, yeah, Eric Watts, you're a great man. It takes a great man to take advantage of the fact that your daddy's in charge of WCW, so daddy pays the paychecks, and the referees are on your daddy's payroll. Yeah, Eric, you are a great man. Great victory.
Well, Paul, I want to talk to you about this situation with Medusa. As a matter of fact, before we talk about this, fans, let's go back to Halloween Havoc and show you just exactly what happened between Paul E. and Medusa.
So, Doc, before we continue, because they're going to re-air this footage from Halloween Havoc that we've already talked about with Paul and Medusa, any thoughts on Paul calling Eric Watts the greatest athlete in the history of TBS, but then he gives us all the reasons why Hayes lost with all the excuses?
Well, it's just somebody else who's out there airing dirty laundry on Bill Watts. And so you got to wonder how much these people are shooting at this point.
Yeah. You see, this is how you do it. I mean, what's he saying that's not true?
I've always been an advocate of that. Like, the best stories on TV are the stories behind the TV. Like, yeah. And if you are mature enough to be able to do it, then you got to just do it. That's what makes wrestling, like in a corporation, weird, because for you to put two people against each other who really don't like each other, or for you to, like, you know, throw stray bullets like they're doing right now on these promos, you got to have people who are tough minded that can, all right, I see what you did. I'm going to one up your ass, though. And then you got to be mature enough to be able to go, okay, I'm going to get in the ring and we're going to settle this. But not really settle it, but understand you're both winning because you hopefully are making money off of it.
Yes.
And I think that's what we see here, because they're just, you know, letting it all air out, talking about Watts, which, hey, when we know what's going on behind the scenes, it feels like that's the right move.
Yep.
So let's continue. Paul is going to address now some of the stuff that he talked about at Halloween Havoc 92, which you can listen to our review of on Patreon at tinyurl.com/patreonbtt. Here's the rest of Paulie's promo.
Thoughts. My thoughts are this. I am a man, and men were put on this earth for the domination of the female species. Medusa is a woman, and women were placed on this earth to satisfy the male species. The only way, Medusa, for you to satisfy me is for somebody in WCW to have the manhood to give me just a little bit of time on national TV so that you and I can settle our differences. Isn't there a man here that has the gut? Oh, geez.
You know, Paul.
Are you here to fire me today?
No, Paulie, you know, when you talk about being a man, if you were ever in a real men's locker room, you'd have to sing Stranger in Paradise. And another thing, I can see why you're not married, and if you have a mother, she doesn't watch TV after what you said about women.
She watches TV when my daddy lets her watch TV. Dad's in control of the household.
So what you're wanting is television time.
That's all I want. Please, please, Bill Watts, give me the time to show that broad that I am a man and men are truly the kings of this society.
How about some prime television time? I mean, prime time. Would that do you well?
Oh, please, please. I'd even begin to like you if you'd give me some prime time.
Get your hands off
please
of me, Paulie.
Please, give me some prime time. I'll kiss you if you want me to.
We'll give you prime time on The Clash. Prime time. You and Medusa, but you're going to do like you said. One hand tied behind your back, Big Mouth.
All right, November 18th, Primetime Live. One hand tied behind you. You and Medusa, this is exactly what you wanted, Paul, right? Right? Paul.
Wait a minute. Wait. You know, and I know, and everybody here knows that he hates my filthy, stinking guts. That he's wanted me gone since he came to WCW because I could run this company a hell of a lot better than he could.
That's a shot.
Why is he giving me this opportunity? Is Eric Watts going to be the referee? What are the stipulations in... Wait. This doesn't make sense. Why would Bill Watts give me exactly what I want? Because he's a man. And I'm a man. And I'm here to tell you, Medusa, that as a man... You're gonna get down on your hands and your knees, and you will worship the God of all manhood in the form of Paul E. Dangerously at the Clash of the Champions on November 18th. I'll show you that no matter how bad you want to be, you'll never be a man, only just a woman.
All right, fam.
I mean, that's how you cut a promo. I don't know what else to say. Doc, your thoughts?
How great was that? And not because of the content, but what he said and how he said it. Dude, did you catch the line when Watts come in? He goes, what do you got here to fire me? Dude, there was some real there. Then he said, you're mad because I could run the company better than you. He believed that.
That's how you do it.
That's how you do it.
Don't
and guess
shit
what?
With that right in front of you, not 9 months later.
Thank you. And he's saying things that would get him canceled today. And guess what? It's so obnoxious that even Bill Watts is like, I can't believe you're this obnoxious.
When he, so if you're watching the video version with us at tinyurl.com/patreonbtt, you would have seen Paul say to Watts, you know, if you give me that, you know, give me Medusa in the ring, I'll even kiss you. And Paul grabs Bill Watts's like tie right at the top.
Yeah.
And Watts, the microphone ain't right under his face. He's like, don't you touch me. And he looks serious. Like, get your hands off me, you bastard. I will clock your ass. The interaction with those two. Now, mind you, this is after the story I've told you where he called Medusa, Watts called Medusa that derogatory C word, and called Paul Lee an effing
J
because of he was mad that they stole the show. This is after that. If you want to know what I'm talking about, tinyurl.com/Patreon, BTT, we discussed it at length in the Halloween Havoc 92 review. So this is coming on the heels of that.
Can any wrestling company in the history of the world ever just settle down and put on good product?
Dude, that's the thing about wrestling's history. There was dysfunction in every goddamn territory. There were guys that didn't like each other all over the place. You know what they did? They just went out there and made money.
You think everybody in the Chiefs locker room got along this year? They're all friend. All 52, 53 guys are friends with the others.
No.
I heard
everybody that's listening to this has somebody at their shoe job that they want to stab in the neck with a pencil.
I heard one of the Saints cornerbacks back in 09 say, "It's hilarious watching a 53-man NFL team locker room with a bunch of alpha males try to up one another." He's like, "It's all egos, and if the ego is focused the right way, you'll have success." And it that makes me think about these the dysfunctions in locker rooms. Now, WCW ain't printing money in 92. There's way too much dysfunction. But it's in this moment with this segment, we can at least look and go, well, that's two guys that really don't like each other, but they went out on TV and made it work at that moment.
Correct.
It's a novel concept. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Harper, you have any thoughts on Paulie there, who is developing a second chin at this point? You can see it coming when they're zooming in on his face.
It was beautiful. That was great. Yeah, it was great.
Heel work.
Yeah.
Two guys that hated each other, but they went on TV and made it work. Let's continue. We go to Shanghai Pierce and Tex Slashinger versus Ricky Steamboat and Shane Douglas. We're putting Steamboat and Douglas together because, well, we need tag teams in this area right now, and there's no other way to put it. Doc, I'm going to go to you. You can share your thoughts on this match, and what do you have from it?
Yeah, I said, you know, first of all, when they came out, they misspelled Shanghai, in case you were wondering.
Well, imagine that. Anybody shocked here? Are we shocked?
No.
I'll try to go back to it, but go ahead, Doc, continue.
Well, you know, to me, this represents a push, continued push for Douglas. See,
it's there it is, Shanghai with an I.
Shangy.
Oh, yeah, that ain't it, bro. Even I could see that.
Supposed to have an A in front of it.
Yeah.
All right, continue.
Boy. Douglas,
we can't spell Arn. Wait. We can't spell Arn. Do you really think we're going to get Shanghai Pierce right? Okay. No. Continue, Doc. I'm sorry. I just had to say that.
So Douglas gets to rub elbows with a former world champion here.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, it's needed because they need tag teams. And I would say that watching the first part of this match, these two guys have chemistry.
Yeah, I agree. They look good together.
They look good together. Man, Douglas is in a really productive part of his career here.
Totally agree.
Yeah, he's looking good, man. I think he's very underrated.
The first couple of years, 2-3 years, he was in ECW. He was too. Good God, yeah. That was a great character.
Whatever happened to the Hercules doing his gimmick with the mask?
I'm trying to remember if he's gone by now.
Damn, he didn't last that long?
I'm not 100% certain if he's already gone, but yeah, no, I mean, nothing ever materializes from that gimmick.
Nothing ever happens, so.
Yeah.
Are we at all upset with them hanging a loss on Tex and Shanghai already?
I could be, but I know the direction that they're going with Douglas and Steamboat, so yeah. It kind of makes sense.
Okay.
Well, we get what you're about to do with them.
We get to the end, and part of the finish is going to be Steamboat tripping up one of those guys. And this being WCW, we almost missed it. The cameraman almost missed it.
They missed it on the shot we see right there.
Yeah.
But it was close. And then Douglas ducks a double clothesline and pins the masked. Not the masked one. God, I forgot. I get these guys confused all the time.
Godwin,
anyway.
The Godwin. Yeah. The Godwin. Naked Midian.
Remember that? Pearson, Schlesinger lose. Steamboat and Douglas get a win, which is the right move when you consider an. At Clash of the Champions, which is the next Patreon video or Patreon show that we're going to do. Next special Patreon episode is the next Clash. There will be Windham and Rhodes, who are currently still the champions, are taking on Douglas and Steamboat. So that's why I said probably the right decision when we consider that.
It looked like something from like Walker, Texas Ranger, didn't it?
What did?
When they were attacking him in the car.
Yeah, you remember that? That was a Clash.
Yeah, that was like
they did that
last week on Walker, Texas Ranger.
Yeah, that's when Arn and
I remember that.
Larry slammed the door in Barry's arm, and Barry had the injured, you know, quote unquote injured wrist for some time. So anyway, they kind of go through the history of with Dustin and.
Speaking of Larry, if you like Larry, you might. Have a little surprise for you coming up here soon.
Oh yeah, Zbyszko is going to be on commentary a lot coming up. Oh, Arn.
I wasn't going to give away the spoiler. I was just saying, you know, keep an eye out. But okay,
he's pretty good on commentary, man. Like when it's him and JR, like I think everybody will agree. Once you hear it week by week, it's like, all right, this guy's pretty good, man. I really like Larry Zbyszko, and they were misusing him so bad at this point. Like, I'm glad they found a place for him.
Sure.
I think they could have done. Well, they broke up with the Dangerous Alliance. That's another topic though. But yeah, Larry got misused.
I mean, he's up there in age though. You know.
Yeah, he is. He's not a young man anymore.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll continue. They play an ad for the Clash, and we see Windham and Rhodes will battle Douglas and Steamboat, and then we see a series of video packages on Windham and Rhodes, and we're kind of brought into the bad blood that's happening with Windham and Rhodes. Just a bunch of replays on the situation with them too, so nothing new to report. Doc, did you have any thoughts as I continue?
No, sir.
I'm not going to play this promo, but I did want to stop right here for a second because I wanted Harper to see what Dustin has on as he was about to cut this.
Hold on. Harper, what does he look like there? And then I have an idea too.
That's what I was going to ask Harper. That's Dustin.
He looks like every dipshit from Mudbugs.
You gotta tell him what Mudbugs is.
It was like a poor man's Gillies that they built down here, and that's what every one of those dipshits looked like. And I bet you he's got a can of dip in his back pocket. He drives his Silverado.
There was a Mudbugs in every sizable town in the South for a good 30-year stretch.
Correct.
He also looks like he's trying to be a stunt double for Garth Brooks on his next record cover.
Dude, for real, dude. I can just Harper. Picture him driving the Silverado with the Heartbeat of America fucking floor mats in it that he got from AutoZone.
I'll tell you right now that there were at least 150 guys in my high school that right there is them.
I had some guys like that, and fucking King walked around looking like that. Man. I could just hear it, Boot Scoot Boogie.
I said Brooks and Dunn on here. I said he looks like a Brooks and Dunn Garth Brooks album come to life.
I can just hear it. Here we go, do-si-do, come on, baby, let's go, boo-ski.
There you go.
Cadillac, blackjack, nah, you're gonna play, whatever.
Oh, Jesus.
Fuck, remember the one, I'm an Indian outlaw, part Cherokee and Choctaw, my baby, she's a Chickawa, she's a one of a kind. Remember that, Doc?
Yeah. I've heard that
Hover.
Before. Here's the Hover. Thing.
The one, you know what I thought he looked like? The one time I went to Mustang's White Horse Saloon, I swear every goddamn white boy in Metairie had that bullshit on that he's wearing. Bruh, right there.
That's what, okay, I'm getting mud bugs and that place mixed up. That's Hover. What it was. Mustang.
And when I went
that's
there,
that's what I was thinking about. Mustang. Mudbugs was on the West Bank.
Right, yeah.
And then the fucking Mustangs was in Kenner. That's what I was thinking about the whole time. It was fucking Mustangs.
He looked like every white boy in Metairie.
That's what I'm telling you, bro. Like, I think it was originally called Mustang Sally's. And then then someone bought it and they just called it Mustang. That's what I've been thinking about when I'm thinking of Mudbugs this whole time. That's what it was. It was in Kenner. I remember going in that motherfucker back then. It'll make you tuck your shirt in and all that kind of shit.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
Just think about this. It's 1992. You have this running wild. You have grunge starting to run wild and hair metal still floating around. Think of all these subcultures that were just crazy and wild-assed.
Yeah, not anymore.
No, everybody's just one homogenous piece of crap.
Yeah.
Yeet.
No cap.
No cap. It's like there's just Coke now. There's no more Pepsi. There's no more Barks. There's no more Dr. Pepper. Oh, I want Fanta. Fuck you. Fanta's gone, bitch. You got to drink Coke.
Society is just mid now.
It is mid.
No cap.
No cap.
Yeet.
Yeet.
All right. Let's continue. Dustin did cut a meat and potatoes promo. Steamboat comes out. He thanks Dustin Rhodes for the opportunity at the belt. Dustin also downplayed any drama with he and Barry Windham. Teddy Long is then backstage with Barry Windham. I'm sorry. Yeah, with Barry. And then Barry's talking about his King of the Cable match. And Barry says, I'm going to show Rude how good I am, and we'll see how good he is. From there, Doc, did you have any thoughts before we continue?
I thought Windham was just average. I mean, there wasn't a lot to say.
Meat and potatoes.
Yeah.
I'm not going to play this unless you wanted me to, but Tony Schiavone is now doing a second sit down up close and personal with Jake Roberts. Meanwhile, Jake's about to be gone. And Jake talks about Ron Simmons and tells him sooner or later, if you play with the snake, you're going to get bitten.
If you move.
We've heard that line a few times. And then Jake addresses Bill Watts banning snakes from ringside. And Jake says, once again, the DDT is the serpent. The reptile in the bag is just that. But the DDT is the real serpent. Doc, I didn't have anything from it. It wasn't anything new. Jake was fine. But any thoughts on it?
My first note was get a long look at Jake here. Because we got to start the show off next week with a big announcement regarding his future.
What's for this goat? Is that his beard or his goatee?
That's where he got bit.
Did you forget? That's where the snake bit him.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I thought that was hair.
I'd rather watch 10 Young Bucks matches than watch him get bit in the face with that snake again.
Yeah, that was bad.
That's a bridge too far.
That's true.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. Get a long, hard look at Jake Roberts right there, and we'll update you next week on why we say that. Continuing along, we go to the next match, which is one of the King of Cable matches for this week, and it is Rick Rude versus Barry Windham in the quarterfinals of the King of Cable. Doc, let me go to you. I guess they gave him about 10 minutes here to work a match. What are your thoughts on what happens here with these two?
Well, at the beginning, Rick Rude comes out and says, cut the music, he called center stage a bunch of inner city sweat hogs.
Yeah, you got to give them to him. Hey, I got a question from a listener, Aaron. He sent it on Twitter. He said, who is the better dick dancer, Rick Rude or Stan Lane?
Rude.
That's a great question.
I think Stan.
Rude. You think he's Stan?
I don't know. Let me tell you why. Rude's dick dancing is the swivel hips that he does. And to me, that's his one move. Whereas Stan would do the cabbage patch, he would do the snake. Like, Stan had a couple of different moves. That's why I say Stan.
Okay,
he had more than one move.
So Rude was just a one-trick pony.
No, he wasn't a one-trick pony, but if you pin me down and ask me to split hairs, I'm giving Stan Lane the dick dancer the award.
Are you splitting pubes?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know.
Exactly. But I
want to apologize to everyone. I'd say Stan Lane.
Okay. You still say Rude, Harper, or Stan?
I'm picking Rude, damn it.
Okay, fair enough. Unless you consider Rude selling the spine atomic drop as dick dancing, which I don't consider the dick dancing. Like that. Do you consider... See, I don't... That's selling to me.
Yeah.
But Stan had more wiggle. He wiggled a little bit more.
A whole kit and caboodle.
Exactly. Okay, now, Doc, I didn't mean to cut you off. We got this match going on here. What you got from it?
I think Rick Rude should grow his mustache back.
Yeah.
He looks weird without the mustache.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like more of a prick without the mustache.
I don't know.
I think so.
So is this a semifinal?
No, this is first round.
Oh, I thought they said semifinal. I missed that.
I think they said quarterfinal.
I had a weird question here because I think it's coming up soon, but I don't know what I don't know.
Right.
He was selling his back pretty hard. Is there any shoot aspect to that, or is... No, am I reading?
Spoiler alert, he does get hurt. I don't know if that's what he's selling here. No, but I mean, he's going to be.
It's a good thing. Yeah.
He's going to be. I don't know if that's the same one, Harper, because there's one where he gets permanently, I'm going to say permanently disabled, although I know that's nothing's permanent in wrestling. But I think you're thinking of Harper, you're thinking about the injury that puts him out.
Oh. Okay.
There's another injury before then that he has where he just misses a little time. I think that's what Doc's referring to.
Oh, okay. Well, you see, I didn't know that.
Right. We're all learning here. Nobody's coming down on anybody. We're all here to learn about wrestling. It's a safe space for us to come and learn about the industry.
That's right. Your lives will not be in fear here.
No, we don't want anybody to fear for their lives.
You can just be yourself here. No one's going to judge you. We all love each other here. We're shiny, happy people holding hands.
Right, you know what I hate about the whole judgment-free thing? Like, they call...
People are turds and they need to be judged.
It's not a judgment thing. It's like a respect thing. Like, that word, the people who use don't judge, like, it's been co-opted from respect. Like, if we just all respected people, it would be a totally different world. Like, you ain't got to like somebody. You just got to respect their right to do what they want to do as long as they ain't breaking laws and trying to harm you and your family.
Yeah.
The whole, we're judgment free. We're so kind. Man, anybody who tells you some stuff like that, they ain't the most judgmental assholes of them all.
They're the first one coming with the judgments.
That's right.
What are we doing here? Why are we talking? Oh, man. Here. Okay.
Hey, I got to tell you, speaking of safe spaces,
Yes. Jake is so good on color.
He's really good.
Like, he's explaining the psychology of things and why things are happening, and he is phenomenal. I hope he sticks around on color around here. JR needs a good... Oh, sorry.
Oh. He's just too damn Southern.
Say that again, Hopper.
He's just too damn Southern for us.
He's just damn cracked out.
He's just too damn Southern, man.
Okay. Continue, Doc, before we get to the finish, I guess.
They worked a pretty slow pace, but it was effective for what they were doing.
Yeah, they're eating up TV time. I mean, it's a long episode. Remember, this is the back half.
Yeah, and these two guys are great anyway, so I'm going to go along for the ride with them. When you work to the finish, then we can work to the finish, and I'll tell you what I thought of that, though.
So we get a suplex by Wyndham on Rude, but Rude gets the foot on the rope, and then Wyndham goes for a body slam, but Rude does a go-behind, then rolls up Wyndham. Pee Wee Anderson makes a three count, even though as Rude pinned Wyndham, Rude grabbed the ropes for leverage. Jake tells us how his arm just fell on the ropes and no harm, no foul. And that is Jake really doing a good job of being that heel announcer. Because it kind of did, like, if you watch it, watch Rude right here.
Let's see.
I thought it was kind of clumsy looking.
It was, but it made sense based on what Jake said. He's like, watch, here's the go behind the roll up. And then Rude's trying to like hold Wyndham down. And he kind of does like fall onto the rope. And Jake covered for it saying, yeah, his arm just fell over it. He wasn't using the rope as leverage. No harm, no foul. But when you watch it, it does look clumsy. But if you kind of can go along with what Jake said, it made sense. Like, here, just listen to it.
How many of those can you take? I guess one more.
Wyndham blocks the punch, has got his right in. Rude's got to try to roll him up.
Yeah.
He's got to hold the ropes. He had to hold the ropes.
Smart move. I don't think he held on to it. He just reached out there and accidentally brushed it. He didn't really hold on to it.
The winner of the match, Ravishing Rick.
He didn't hold on to it. His arm was just draped over it. So, like, I thought Jake made sense on his commentary.
He did.
Yeah, you agree. See, Harper agrees, Doc.
Why does everything have to make sense? It's wrestling.
You're just making an excuse because it's old school wrestling, Mike. You don't want to admit when it's shitty.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
You're an asshole.
You and Hopper are assholes.
I'll say I'll call it down the middle, but I don't think that you do.
You and Hopper are assholes. I hate you guys.
You really do hate AEW, and you're just jealous because they don't call you to come work for them.
That's true. That's true, everybody. He is so mad that he didn't get on TV before he had to hang it up.
I hate Harper. He makes fun of my favorite stuff. And then he makes excuses for the stuff we see here. It's all bullshit. Bunch of assholes on BTT. That's why y'all don't have no 5-star reviews.
All right.
That's nice. Do we have any, like, negative reviews?
There's a couple, not many.
We don't want to encourage that.
We do need people to start submitting some more 5-star reviews, though. It's always helpful. And to those of you who have already submitted multiple 5-star reviews, we acknowledge you. Thank you very much for your assistance. It is very much appreciated. Apple? It's everywhere.
Jesus.
The man doesn't even know where his own podcast is.
Where is it?
Way to get out there in the community and tell people.
Apple Podcast Addict. Hey, I was shocked last week. He actually shared a clip of his.
Yeah.
The Yeet clip. He shared that on his own.
Views?
It got more views than normal on the first week.
Yeah, that was my experiment to see if it did anything.
Okay.
You should cut a promo and say, look, all you shitheads that are my friends here, click on, hit play, and hit thumbs up. Don't be a dipshit.
You dipshit. They can't help themselves.
I know.
Dipshits are going to be dipshits, pal.
Doc, did you have any further thoughts on Rick Rude versus Barry Windham?
I mean, I think I know where this is going, so I don't expect Windham to win. So it made sense from that regard. So, yeah, I'm okay.
All right. Yeah. And remember, I think we get the finals of it at Starcade. So, you know,
I can't wait for that.
Weeks
that sounds delicious.
All right. So on the footage we have, the next match is supposed to be Brian Pillman versus Sting, but our copy cuts off. So we have a slight bit of a problem here. What I can tell you is Sting's in it, so Doc really didn't care. Sting did pin Pillman to move on in the King of Cable tournament. So Pillman is out. And if you want to see this match in its entirety, it is on the Peacock. So you can get it from there. And then following this match, there was a promo from Vader, a quick one, where Vader talks about his match next week versus Tony Atlas on Saturday night, which is another King of Cable matchup. So that was how this show goes off air. On that note, we're going to rate it and hand out the toot award.
Hey, when was the last time Arn Anderson cut a promo?
Bruh. Don't get me started on that. Again, we've had this discussion. Arn and Bobby, two of your best talents. Last time you saw them,
sword fighting with their dicks on who can lose to Eric Watts. That's great.
Oh, boy. Anyway, we're going to rate it, hand out the 2-2 award. Before we do so, remember, the only way you can listen to the upcoming Clash is by going to tinyurl.com/PatreonBTT. The only way you can listen to our Dark Side of the Ring reviews is by going to tinyurl.com/PatreonBTT. Great way to support the show and get tons of extra content. Hopper, while you're there and before we rate it, what? I did have a question. You and I talked about this on the phone. We did the only episode, I think, of Dark Side of, well, there's been a couple we haven't done this season. We did get a question from several listeners. Chris Cepeda wanted to know, a couple other people wanted to know about the Brutus Beefcake episode. What did you think, and you told me this, that's why I'm asking you, what did you think about Hogan and Beefcake's falling out based on Beefcake's current wife? The question was, I want to know what Harper thinks about that, and why did Hogan fall out with Beefcake and Beefcake's wife?
I think Hogan was... I don't know. Maybe he was trying to knock it out. And they're like, he was like, whoa. No. I mean, what do you want me to tell you?
This is why we can't do Ask Harper.
We can't ask Harper questions.
Because he was banging Bubba the Love Sponge fucking old lady, bro. So
I get it, but why does that make you angry?
It doesn't make me angry. You asked me
it
why.
It does, too. We
I
did
think
a
he was
segment.
Trying to knock
like,
it out, and he was like, no. No,
we did a segment 8 years ago, and it was Ask Harper Anything, and you cut a promo on the first question, guys, so bad we never have gone back to that segment ever again. Am I wrong? What part of that am I wrong about, Mike?
You're not wrong at all. The question was, it was our buddy who's been a long time, but was a long, used to be a patron, I believe. He was asking... I can't get the question now because it was so crazy. He said him and his wife had been married a long time. They had, you know, great whoopee, as they used to say on Love Connection or whatever that show was back in the day, Newlyweds. They had great whoopee, but, you know, she wouldn't let him get to the yam bag. And he was like, you know, Harper, what can I do that? And Harper cuts a promo. We're like, dude, this is not how it works. When people ask you a question, you got to answer it sincerely. Like, you know, even if you got to work the answer up a little bit, Harper starts cutting a promo on the listener. Like, this is not how this works, dude. Sometimes you got to listen to a question and go, oh, that was okay. I never thought about that. So I don't really know, but I guess like at least do that. But no, Harper went, what the hell is this guy, a freak? He starts cutting a promo.
Why the fuck are you asking me this shit? Fuck you.
Yeah, the fuck you asking me? I don't know.
All right.
Ask your host anything. Maybe the one place where I'm better than Harper on this show.
Yeah. You can't script Harper. You cannot ask him questions because he's gonna go promos. So officially your stance is Hogan wanted to get down because with Beefcake's wife.
Way it is.
I know it's
That's
weird,
the
ain't
thing.
It?
Why? Why?
Maybe they're working the room.
Maybe they are. That could be happening. But it's strange how like no one is saying why.
Yeah, agreed.
And
all right,
guess we'll never know.
And fucking Hogan's got a little group around him, huh?
Oh God, they worship the ground he walks on.
Oh yeah, man.
It's wild, ain't it? Ain't it wild?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, damn. I tell you what, you know who's a funny son of a gun though?
What?
Brian Knobs.
He's gonna say, yeah.
Yeah.
I was on a couple of shows that he was on the indies. That dude is hilarious. I mean, I know he just says wild shit. Like, shit I ain't trying to repeat. He's freaking funny. And he wasn't drunk. That's what was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see, wrestling, you see, that's like, I watched the Chris Colt one. Which Jesus H. Christ.
We did an episode on it, yes.
And pro wrestling is the only world where people like that could halfway exist.
I think we talked about that, Doc, right?
Yeah, it sounds a little bit like our analysis there.
Yeah.
Maybe rock and roll, like the roadie thing.
Maybe so.
And maybe like back then, the carnival scene, the circus.
Right.
But not the shoot job. No.
He couldn't be.
And that couldn't exist
now.
No.
Gonna be a wrestler now, like you said.
Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially now.
Yeah, it wouldn't happen. All right.
So, what are we gonna rate this thing?
You go first, Doc. What are you rating it? Remember, we're doing last week, too. So, parts one and two here.
Yeah. Cutting it up is probably gonna help the rating if we're being honest.
Yep.
It's certainly better than the last thing we rated. I mean, this wasn't Starrcade 85, but it wasn't as bad as what we've seen recently. I'm going to say a B-.
I'm in agreement
Something's not right.
I wrote down B-, for sure. So I'm going B- as well. Harper, what do you think?
I'll give it a C+. I think, I mean, the problem is Eric Watts.
Daddy said sail.
Yeah. I mean, they're just shoving this kid down your throat. Hey.
But, don't do that.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's Michael, get control.
You're so mean, Hopper. I don't like you, man. Y'all are mean. Y'all make fun of my favorite wrestlers. Y'all are assholes. Why y'all always act like this? This is ridiculous. I'm going home to my
Maybe that's
space.
Our new segment. We let people tell us who their favorite wrestler is, and we tell you all the ways they suck.
Yeah,
here's why.
It's funny.
That's why you're wrong.
You better get rid of Harper. If you don't get rid of Harper, I'm quitting. I'm not listening no more.
This is why... You're wrong, and we will always be right, because you're always going to be you, and unfortunately, you can't come close to being me.
That's right. You can't eat ass through the pandemic.
Well, goddamn! Harper! Why are you saying that for the podcast?
I'm outraged! Okay.
How come Doc doesn't do a voice?
Oh, I Doc? Was texting. I'm sorry.
Y'all want me to do a voice? I don't like it when I get upset. But y'all are so irritating with y'all's negativities.
All right.
You sound like the preacher on Young Shelton.
Well, I'm going to reach down and do some masturbatory acts and an act of masturbation.
Don't get me started on that.
What?
What, masturbating?
Oh, Bob, it's just kid stuff.
It's just kid stuff. Come on, Bobby.
So I reached over and relieved him in an act of masturbation.
Yeah. It didn't. Yeah.
Grow up. This is why I don't listen to BTT. Okay. Let's.
He's dead, huh?
Who's dead?
The guy from that deal.
Which one?
The guy.
The dad.
That he died?
Gay.
He died?
I don't know. Harper's starting.
I didn't know that.
That's what I'm wondering.
Okay, I never heard that. So let's hand out the toot award.
Okay.
Sidetracked enough here. Who gets the toot award, Doc?
I'm going with Paul Heyman for some real stiff inside baseball.
I almost gave it to Watts because he stood there and took it, but I had to give it to Paul. Who are you giving it to, Harper?
It's got to be Paul Heyman.
Yeah. So good. So
he's pretty good.
Yeah.
He's got a good future in this business.
On that note, I guess we're going to wrap things up. We appreciate you listening. If I could ask for a favor before we get out of here. You know that platform they call X now that, you know, we call Twitter? When you see the show get posted there, please retweet it. It greatly helps the show. Because unless you pay for a blue check, well, your tweets don't get amplified. So please retweet the show when I put it out there on Twitter. Also on Facebook, hit share when you see it. Again, doesn't cost you a thing. It greatly helps the show. And if you've never left us a five-star review, please leave us a five-star review on Apple Podcasts or Podcast Addict. Another way to greatly help the show. On that note, Doc, let me go to you. Anything else before we have Harper hit the tagline?
I'm just worried about you, Mike. This play-in game is not going your way so far.
Yeah.
For the Pellies. So I hope you're going to be okay.
I don't give two shits. Harper, anything from you before you hit the tagline?
No, let's roll.
Hit the tagline.
Book it, biatch.